thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
But we do.
Here's John Williams.
On the John Williams Show. We're here today until 2:30, then pregame coverage. White Sox baseball. Hopefully the White Sox will get two games in today, and hopefully they'll not lose 12-0. I think that was the score of their last game. Cubs haven't been doing so great either lately, but this is the station for every White Sox game and Northwestern Wildcats and Blackhawks hockey. That's a tough story to hear about the Blackhawks. We'll talk more about that one next week. We're short of time today, but those are some of the sports notes as we get rolling. We're on here till 2:30, and then I'll be on with the Saturday gang tomorrow. That'll be from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. On social media, I am WGN King John on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We just posted my take on Melania's jacket on my Facebook page, WGN King John. When I first saw Melania's jacket, I thought it was a meme. I thought somebody had photoshopped those words onto her jacket.
It definitely is hard to believe.
I thought, well, that's not really what she wore. That's just somebody taking her green jacket and they're sticking that on there. She didn't really have a jacket that said, I really don't care, do you? So now I've learned a lot about fashion. One of the things I've learned is that statement clothing is really big right now. You know, snarky or funny or comical comments. At the end of my piece today on Facebook, one of the things that I said, and it may be the thing that I feel most profoundly, although this certainly isn't the most important thing, is that I thought that that sort of snarky dismissiveness, I don't really care, is a statement a little young for the first lady. I think she's a little old for that. That's the sort of thing I would expect Violetta or Elif or, I don't know, a teenage girl to wear, but not a 50-year-old First Lady of the United States of America.
Well, especially because she's always been so poised.
I know. This
and
just
very proper and
right,
polite.
Right. I have a theory about why I think she did wear that, and that's on my Facebook page. You can be part of the conversation there. But I just thought, Melania, you're too old for that. I'm sorry, you don't get to wear those kind of clothes anymore. And this is a lady with unlimited wardrobe resources, right? She could have the most expensive or the most difficult to get clothes on earth, and she chose to wear that.
Which she typically does.
Yeah. And you, well, you see, that's part of the problem, is that when she does make a fashion statement, she gets criticized for it. And Melania, who has been relatively invisible for the past month, she has now been seen publicly again, but just before she went in for kidney surgery until just recently, we had not literally seen her. So I know she has this sort of veneer of defensiveness about her, and I don't blame her for that. She didn't want to be First Lady. Her husband's roundly criticized. Her life was probably comfortable and is now almost unmanageable. So I get it when she steps out. She thinks, I can't win. There's nothing I can wear walking onto that plane that's going to satisfy everybody. If it's too casual, I don't care. If it's too stylish, then I don't care.
Oh, I know. I'll wear my coat that says, I don't care.
So maybe that was it, right? So maybe that was it. She goes, you know what? Since I can't win, I'll get in front of this thing and say, you know what? I don't care what you think about what I'm wearing. Incidentally, the clothes weren't custom made for her. That's something anybody can buy off the rack, but maybe it was fortuitous for her that she just happened to have one that sort of spoke to her attitude about all of us judging her clothes. Well, I don't care. I really don't care. Maybe that's what she's saying to us about that. What that misses, though, is that it is clear it's going to create a distraction. So if her mission is humanitarian or fact-finding, it's clear that this is going to get in the way of that. So even though you don't care what other people think, I wouldn't put that on the jacket because, frankly, that doesn't help the kids and the families or the issue at large. America is very, hey, there's a shiny object. Let's go over there. You know what? There's a meme out right now of her jacket, which I thought was a meme. They took that olive color jacket that she wore and they put on there, while you are reading what my jacket says, the Senate is gutting health care. I mean, not bad, right? That's where our focus should be. I know that. You know that. We all know that. And you also know, if you're the First Lady, that we're going to spend a lot of time reading your jacket. So it's a misfire in any sense. your thoughts about that. I was at a restaurant one time, and this was before I was a major market radio talk show host, but there I was sitting with my wife, and we were looking across the restaurant, and at the other table was a family of three or four. There was a mom and a dad and a couple of kids, and one of the kids had a T-shirt on, and that shirt had a statement, and it had the F-bomb on there. It said F-U or something to that effect. And they look like a nice family, and you know kids, they'll just wear their shirts. These kids these days, right? The kid had the F-bomb on the front of his shirt as his mom and dad are sitting there having the chicken. And I thought how unpleasant that must be for that family to sit there and look at that word over and over again. I said, hey, Olive, what are some of the fashion statement shirts? That is, shirts, bags, coats that have statements on them these days. So she went clicking around. From Forever 21. Oh, you can get a lot of slogans there. Influencer. I love the kid at the mall walking down. Influencer. Yeah. Yeah, more than me. Royal Wedding Crasher. That's nice. Sweet Like Honey. Those are the kinds that make me a little uncomfortable. I don't think anybody's daughter should have a shirt on that says Sweet Like Honey. I don't even know what that means, but I don't like the sound of that. Lots of bags have sayings on them. I'm broke, but I'm happy. Pretty good.
I mean, sometimes they're just simple, like rosé all day.
Absolutely. Like that one.
I was wearing one the other day that was like hair in a bun, ready for brunch or something.
I like that, too. And by the way, you have a lot more latitude because you're not the president's wife. You're not the first lady.
But to be honest, I wouldn't even wear something that says I don't care.
It's so snarky. It is so dismissive to anybody and everybody that sees it. That's the thing. That I know it's cool to be cool. I wish I was. I never was. I was never able to pull off a T-shirt like that, right? But really, that is a kind of snarky dismissiveness. And there is the lady on this humanitarian mission. She's going to go see the poor kids in Texas. I really don't care. Are you kidding me? You don't have one other jacket, lady?
I don't know if your theory is correct because... Why would she? It would be terrible timing for her to do it yesterday when she was going there.
So then.
To pick that moment to make that point that you suggested earlier.
So then why do you think she's wearing it? I mean, I think what she's.
Regardless. I think she just didn't think it through.
There's
properly.
No way. She's smarter than that.
There's no way. This is a family that knows branding. Her husband has a hat that says Make America Great Again, and everybody wears the hat. She's the one that authored Be Best. That was her idea. Those were her words. They know the power of messaging.
If you want to analyze it more, maybe she wanted to show that she is buying clothing from middle class people shop, yeah. Like Zara.
I think $39 is a statement.
Well, yeah. Then you wear Gap mom jeans. That's how you make that statement.
Or the sweater that says Gap on it.
Yeah, no.
No, but I get your point, Elif. I mean, when I saw that it was $39, I thought, I don't think that's an accident either, right? It's not $390 and unapproachable for a lot of people.
What bothers me most, I don't even care what the message is. There's obviously a message, or she was talking to someone specifically. But the first lady seemed above the games of her husband. You know, she seemed like she wasn't playing a game. She seemed like she was being herself. She was being genuine. And honestly, I think it's a message to the president. I think
that's more along the lines.
I think she was being snarky to her husband.
Donald.
Yeah, I think she's playing a game with him.
It's possible.
But it's being played out on such a public.
And it's so easily misconstrued. I mean, here you got four smart people. Okay, three smart people and me. And we have not come to a consensus on what the point of that was. And it could have been entirely random or accidental, but I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that. Incidentally, some of the texters on my Facebook page where my monologue about that is said, I'm so disappointed in her. I thought she was above the fray. To your point, Violetta, a lot of people just went, really, Melania? You have been able to dodge a lot of this. I think her sin has been abstention. She should have been involved in some of these things, but that's her only sin. It's been of omission, not commission, generally. She has not said or done anything wrong, mean, bad, stupid. And everybody else seems to be stepping in it these days.
Well,
this was her uncharacteristically creating a problem.
And like you said on your Facebook post, a lot of that is, okay, fine, you want to send a message, but the people it's hurting the most is the people you went to go see, because it's taking away from the issue, because we're talking about her coat instead of the mission that she went on.
About that mission, by the way, we'll visit with the photographer who has been down there following those families. He'll join us. His picture is on the cover of Time magazine with the president's. That's after the 1:35 edition of WGN Radio News. And fun things to do. Let's give you a list today at 2:20. It's Pride Fest. I noticed the Chicago Tribune's 10 things to do this weekend are all Pride-centric. Ours won't be. That's going to be there. And Lord, there is the LGBTQ community represented with some swell stuff this weekend. But we've got that and other things in mind for you about an hour from now. All along the way, the number's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. If you want to call or text in, here's a Kate Spade bag. Eat cake for breakfast. Here's a Soho girl jacket. Not your girl. Okay, these are all out there.
Those are hilarious to me. Not your girl.
Not your girl, so you can't have this, right?
Correct.
See, it's these puns that get you in trouble that I'm most uncomfortable with. Violetta, how about this one? A text is just poured in. Hey, how about a seventh grader at a volleyball tournament with a T-shirt with the picture of a volleyball, and underneath the volleyball it says, I'd hit that.
Oh, no.
See? That's a seventh grade girl. I know. You're a volleyball. You're going to hit the ball. I know. I'd hit that. Somebody's daughter. Somebody's mom. Somebody's dad said, look at that. That's okay with me. No, it's not.
Our prom shirts had a picture of a keg, and it said, I'd tap that.
You're not proud of that now, are you?
No, but it was in high school. We were seniors.
It's been a year.
I still have the shirt.
Make Sundays your official night.
Well,
there you go.
It's my prom shirt.
Where's the outrage then?
My prom shirt. I probably shouldn't have done that, yeah. But it's my prom shirt. I mean, it's a memory.
What's a prom shirt anyway?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, you go out with the group to prom and you get shirts made. Mine had my last name on it, and my date also was wearing
Wait a minute.
Last
Here's
name.
How you do prom. You and your mom go to the mall, and you get a crushed velvet pink jacket, and it's got a ruffly shirt and matching pants with gray shoes. Then you call Lynn Knutson, and you coordinate with her mom the pickup. Then you take Lynn to the prom, and then the next day you go to a beach in Indiana and make out. That's how you do the prom.
Cute.
So where do the T-shirts come in?
You take them off during the make-out thing.
No, they weren't that cute.
I'll tell you what you see a lot of downtown right now. And you didn't used to see this back in the day, is wedding parties. Girls on the, bachelorette weekend.
Hen and parties.
Oh, my. What do you call them, Steve?
They call them hen parties.
Hen parties, yeah.
I mean, in Ireland they do. I don't know if they do here.
I mean, every weekend I'll see a group of two or three gaggles of gals, and they've all got some shirt on, and then one of them has usually got maybe a headdress or some ornamentation that you know she's the bride, and all the ladies are having fun, and they've all got their T-shirts on.
They are hard to miss.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or avoid.
Make That's Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10, then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago. That's at 10:30 on WGN-TV. Thomas Jefferson is the third president of the United States. I hope you know he wrote your Declaration of Independence. We talk to him periodically on stage when he comes through Chicago. We've been doing this for years, and the next conversation with TJ, you and me, is going to be Saturday, August 18th, 10 a.m., College of DuPage. 10 a.m., College of DuPage, Saturday, August 18th. Mark that down. In fact, the very best seats have already sold out. We announced that yesterday, and the tickets are selling fast. We put TJ on the show on Tuesday. This is what he had to say about the press and the presidency.
I actually said to Edward Carrington in 1787, given the choice between government without newspapers or newspapers without government, I would not hesitate to prefer newspapers, because if the people are informed, they can govern themselves. But if they are not informed, they never know what to trust.
It's President Jefferson talking about the media, which he was at odds with, and which used to say scandalous things about him. And scandalous things could be said about Thomas Jefferson. So we'll have that conversation with him on stage. You know, it's unrehearsed and spontaneous. I'll talk to him about current events. We'll ask him what he thinks about the power of impeachment, the pardon, the Electoral College. What advice does he have for the president today? Did he think that the Chicago Bulls made a good pick at number 7? Stuff like that.
Can you ask him what he'd put on his shirt?
You know, I've asked him, it's funny you mention that, because I did ask him prior to our last show, as we were gearing up for the election itself, so maybe this was two shows ago, I said, what would the Thomas Jefferson campaign slogan be? You know, what is on your T-shirt, sir? Right? Make America great again. Hope. Hope and change. You know, what was Hillary's? Hillary? I don't know. Jeb! I'm trying to think of some of the ones that were out there. But his was agriculture. I said, dude, that's not going to fly. That is such a fail.
That's not cool, man.
That is such a slogan fail for a presidential candidate. Agriculture.
Making waves.
Yeah, those. There you go. That, at least go there. You know, hip it up a little bit. How can you get tickets, John, to see TJ on stage and ask him questions, too? Go to WGNradio.com/events. Go to WGNradio.com/events. Please do come. We love it when you're there. I'm going to invite some local politicians this time to stand up and ask a question as well. But the most important component is your smiling face in that crowd. And you'll be glad you went. WGNradio.com/event. We love neighbors who make lives easier and communities better. And WOW, which is a company that's new to WGN Radio, WOW TV, Internet, and Phone, they like good neighbors, too. So we've got a little award. We've had some great neighbors over the past few weeks. Carol Corston of Chicago, Daniel Hicks of Northbrook. Good job, Daniel. Mike Menzer, Mount Prospect, and Holly Kim of Mundelein. This week, we're acknowledging two WOW neighbors, folks that do such a good job for the community. You just want to say WOW. Jim Henneberry of Chicago is incredibly generous with his time. He's the guy that's snowblowing everyone's driveway first thing in the morning. He's always lending a helping hand. He's what a WOW neighbor should be. And Niels Odner of Chicago is described as the ultimate neighbor. His a house and turtle sits. He turtle sits. Boy, that is a good neighbor. Hey, will you come? Will you every day come in and check on my turtle? He shares meals and laughter and has been a support system for his nominating neighbor who is going through a divorce. He's a good guy. If you know a WOW neighbor, nominate them by going to WGNradio.com/contest. In 100 words or less, tell us why that person's fantastic. Your WOW neighbor could win the ultimate detail package for their car from Bill Jacobs BMW Naperville. Maybe more importantly still, we'll congratulate them here on the radio. WGNradio.com/contest, sponsored by WOW, Internet, TV, Phone. On the phone line is John Moore, special correspondent with Getty Images, joining us on WGN Radio. John, welcome to the show. Welcome to Chicago. How are you today?
Just fine. It's good to speak with you.
You are going to see your, you've probably already seen it, the picture you took of that small child separated from her mother at the border. That is going to be with a picture of the president, as I understand it, on the cover of Time magazine this week.
Yes, that that was released online already, and it's caused quite a stir.
A stir? Why? What's the controversy about that cover?
Well, you know, I think that particular image stirs lots of passions. It's a photograph of a little girl crying, and it's touched a lot of people's hearts. Now, in the case of the Time cover, Time used a cutout of that image and put it on the cover with the president.
It's the picture cut out, the girl separated from her mother, but we see her in this image standing all by herself. The Time cover is red, and there's just this little picture of a little girl separated from the entire scene standing in that red backdrop. And the only other image on the cover beside the word Time and Welcome to America is the picture also cut out of Donald Trump looking down at her. He's very big, very tall, dark suit, blue tie, and there she is in her little T-shirt and pants crying. Welcome to America, the cover of Time.
It's true. It's a very stark cover. Time magazine did an illustration out of two pictures, and that was part of the concept, I think, that they had. Now, I wasn't involved in the cover, but I think it was a concept to bring a couple issues together for their cover. you know, as a photojournalist, almost any photojournalist would say they would always prefer their photographs to run as they were taken and completely unaltered. But Time magazine had the right to do their illustration and to illustrate their story.
This is the story of Sandra, age 32, and her two-year-old daughter, Yanela Denise. They were at the border. How is it that you were there? Because it sounds like the media does not have unfettered access at these places. So tell me a little bit about your reporting and mobility down there.
Well, I was actually on an official ride-along with the U.S. Border Patrol. I had been photographing Border Patrol agents that afternoon and evening as they were detaining people who were and chasing, pursuing people who were trying to crossing the border and trying to run away. And also the agents were receiving people that were coming across in rafts, families of asylum seekers who were actually coming and approaching the Border Patrol agents to ask for political asylum. So the Border Patrol has wears various hats down there in their role, both to pursue people and to take them in.
Sandra and Yanela were in a boat, right?
That's right. They were in an inflatable raft that came across the Rio Grande. I watched as numerous rafts came across and brought people to the U.S. side. They then walked up through the woods to a dirt road where Border Patrol agents found them and took their names and collected their personal items, because people aren't allowed to take personal items into detention, so everyone would take off their belts and jewelry, wallets, backpacks, even shoelaces. And so that's part of a process that they have a standard operating procedure for the Border Patrol agents to take people in for initial asylum requests.
John, you made it sound, though, like at this scene, some are seeking asylum and others are regarded as illegal immigrants doing a border crossing. What's the distinction in that place?
Well, the distinction is those who come across the border illegally and try to enter the country, perhaps for employment or other reasons, they tend to run away from the Border Patrol, and the Border Patrol goes after them. The asylum seekers, who are mostly from Central America, they come up, they're usually families, they come up and they petition the U.S. government for political asylum. Now, we've seen that has changed during the recent zero tolerance policy of President Trump, and that's some of the changes that we're seeing in front of us now.
I understand that, but at that particular point, are some of them saying, I'm here for asylum, and others simply sort of saying, okay, you caught me, I was an illegal alien? I mean, if I were any of them, I'd say, hey, I'm here for asylum. That's a better road.
Well, I think probably individuals that come up on their own trying to flee, they don't want political asylum. They don't want to be documented at all. That's sort of the difference between undocumented immigrants and asylum seekers. Undocumented immigrants usually enter the country and try to get in on their own and escape the Border Patrol, whereas asylum seekers, they want very much to be documented because they want their petition to be heard in front of a U.S. immigration court.
This mother and daughter are from Honduras, and they were not seeking asylum, correct? They were simply crossing illegally?
No, they were definitely seeking asylum. They were with a group of women and children that the Border Patrol had come across as they had come up from the shore of the Rio Grande. Mm-hmm. And they were in turn, well, I spoke with the mother very briefly. I asked her where she was from, and she told me Honduras, and that she and her daughter, who was age two, had been traveling for a month. And so I spoke very briefly with her before photographing that scene there that people have seen in this photograph.
Yeah. They had traveled 1,800 miles, almost a month, walking most of the way. They're on the raft. They get caught. They say we're seeking asylum. Our attorney general said that if you want to seek asylum, you have to go to an official port of entry. I presume this wasn't the correct way to do it. How does that affect their disposition then? If somebody's just crossing in a raft going, I'm here for for asylum, but they didn't go to a quote-unquote official port of entry. Do we regard them differently in that case?
Well, certainly the U.S. Government does right now. The federal government is requiring asylum seekers to go to ports of entry and try to enter there, whereas many people are still crossing the river or crossing the border in one place or another.
Well, do you think they know?
Requesting asylum apart. Now, a main difference, one of the reasons that asylum seekers say that they may not go to a port of entry is that oftentimes the lines to get across can take weeks or more than a month because of the limited capacity of officials on the U.S. side to intake asylum seekers at that port of entry. And so they continue to try crossing in different places along the border.
Do you worry that this image is taken out of context in that, in my understanding again, also John Moore's on a phone line with Getty Images, the special correspondent for Getty, whose picture on the front page of Time magazine this week, at least in part, is the image that's gone viral. This is the face of this crisis, right? It's your picture. Do you worry that it's taken a little out of context, John, in that my understanding is the mother and daughter were, in fact, never separated, that the mother has three other children at home, and that she did not tell her husband that she was leaving with the daughter. He didn't know about their whereabouts until a month later when he sees him on TV. So I wonder if that's fully representative of what we imagine is this sort of situation at the border. You know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean. I think that the Time magazine cover with the little girl on the front, it is somewhat representative of the whole issue of zero tolerance policy with the Trump administration. At the time I took that picture, I had no idea whether the little girl and her mother would be separated. And in fact, in the caption, I write that they were taken away in a van for possible separation because actually many kids were being separated from their parents during that time. But I never knew that they were, and I didn't say so.
Yeah.
Now with the time cover, I think it probably represents more the zero tolerance issue than the family separation, but I think you'd have to ask Time that question.
Well, I think it also just represents the sheer horror for these kids. I think that's what's moving the needle on this. Our hearts are breaking for these children, and what you and I are talking about is a distinction with no difference to those kids. They're horrified. So we have that image.
That's exactly right.
But you know, we don't have much of an image of, John, can you talk about this, is the access to the campsites or the detention facilities, the big box stores, whatever, where the kids are, where are the girls? It should seem to me like the likes of you should be able to just pretty much knock on the door and say, I'm going to walk around for a while. Do you have that opportunity at all?
No, well, I have not been back to the border since last week when I took this picture that's had so much attention. But many other members of the media have, and they've had fairly restricted access.
Why?
Now, where are the young girls? I don't know. I have received access to some of the detention centers in the past, but it's very, very restricted at the moment. Of course, we'd all like to see a little more media access to take some of the mystery out of this, but that hasn't been really forthcoming just yet.
Hmm. What can you tell me? So what is your reaction then? I'll pause here, take a quick break, and come back with John Moore. He's that Getty Images correspondent. So what wisdom do you have for us, John, based on your traveling with the Border Patrol? What wisdom do you have for us on the condition of these kids? We've got to do something with them. You know, I don't know what the best case scenario is, and I don't know that this, what we're seeing, is the worst case. What generally should we know based on your experience? In a minute. Just before the break, I said, what would you like all of us to know based on your observations of what's going on down there?
On the border, with people coming across seeking asylum, you know, during my whole coverage over the last 10 years of border issues and immigration issues, it's always been my goal to try and humanize this story because it's often related in terms of statistics, 11 million undocumented immigrants or X number of dollars being spent for a border wall. Really, you know, if we see everyone involved as human beings. I think that as a society, we can probably have a better informed and more compassionate response. With this photograph, I think it touched a lot of people's hearts and stirred a debate on whether zero tolerance policy and that time also family separations, which has now stopped, thankfully. It stirred a debate on that and brought it to people's attention. And a lot of money has been raised on Facebook campaigns for legal defense for undocumented immigrants, I think more than $18 million. And so I think a lot of good has come from an image that was very personally difficult for me to take as a father. And I hope it goes well for that mother and little girl. I'm glad that they're together, even if they are, unfortunately, in detention while their case is being heard.
Yeah, here's the good news, kid. You get to be with your mom. Here's the bad news. You're both going to be in a cage. Or maybe it's not a cage.
Exactly.
Last question, though. What can you tell me about the condition, generally speaking? Some of them are in New York, some of them are in Chicago. But what's your thought about the condition in which these people are kept?
Well, I have not been able to see these facilities. I know they're in many different facilities because they're on the border. They simply don't have enough space for all these kids. And so they're being sent out to places around the country. And so I think it probably varies very much. Some of them are initially taken to a detention center in McAllen. Pictures have been released over the last few days, video by the government that shows chain-link fences inside. Those facilities, I've been to that one before, are quite sterile and actually a little bit cold, physically cold, especially for immigrants who have traveled from Central America through the heat. Mm-hmm. And are not accustomed to that sort of air conditioning. But it differs very for all the different people involved.
Well, better AC than none at all. John, congratulations.
Exactly.
You know, somebody like you does what you do without much fanfare, and then the moment comes and you have to be perfect, and it looks like you were, sir. Your work's on the cover of Time magazine, and people are going to remember that for a very long time. I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much.
He is a special correspondent for Getty Images. That's John Moore. You'll see his picture on the cover of Time and elsewhere. The news is next. This is WGN.
You gotta have
heart. Yeah, what the hell? Let's just finish it. I'll play it.
Thinking big thoughts, right. So you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
This is not going well. Scratch this from the big thought category today. It is 2:09. We're in the Allstate Skyline, or is it Skyview? We're way up high in this fancy studio, and the view up here continues to be crummy. I cannot stop thinking and talking about the weather whenever Steve Bertrand does the forecast, because I just still can't believe this.
It's getting better.
I'm so angry about this.
It's clearing up.
It's either too hot or it's too cold.
For the record, I had the official open button clicked on, and it just played the other one that I had previously queued up.
So it wasn't your fault?
No. Never.
It wasn't an excuse, just an explanation.
It was an alternative.
I hate when people say, don't give me an excuse. I'm like, it's not an excuse. I'm just telling you
what happened.
Yeah.
No, I like that song.
Thank you.
How often do you do that, Violetta? A lot of times offer excuses? Or
I explain myself. I feel like I'm explaining myself
a lot.
Yeah.
Well, now that it's on everybody's head, let's go ahead and scratch that itch. Let's hear You've Got to Have Heart in 3, 2, 1.
Gotta have heart.
I think the country
all you really need is heart.
And talk shows could use this.
When the odds are saying you never win, that's when the grin should start. You gotta have heart.
You need to have heart.
Mustn't sit around and moan. Nothing's half as bad as it may appear. Wait till next year and hope. When your luck is batting zero, get your chin up off the floor.
It's 2:10. All right, thank you, Steve, and thank you, Ella, for all of that. We don't get a chance to do the bright side today. It's preempted by White Sox baseball. Our pregame coverage at 2:30. 5, I think, the first pitch at 3:10 this afternoon. Steve's been telling you about that, and it does look like they'll get that game in. We will, though, cut into this half hour to at least give you our list of fun things to do this weekend. That will come your way in about 15 minutes. We especially like that segment, too. Did you see the story about the Chinese restaurant? It's in China, in the southwestern town of, it's in Chengdu. The Jiaminer hot pot restaurant in Chengdu, southwestern China. And business was not good. And so the owner said, I've got an idea. We'll come up with an all-you-can-eat card. So you buy the card. It lasts for a month. You pay 120 yuan or yen, which is about $18. None of this makes sense because $18 sounds ridiculously low, but it's China, and evidently they thought that was the right price. So for 18 bucks. You get a card, and you go to the restaurant every day if you want, and you can eat all that you want. And they figure that you wouldn't eat more than $18 in a month. It's sort of like that movie ticket offer. What's the movie company that we talk to the guy all the time? Say that again, Elif?
Movie Pass.
Yeah, it's like Movie Pass for food. You pay 18 bucks, and you enjoy a month of limitless hot pot meals. It brought in more than 500 customers every day. 500 customers. The guy was worried that he was not going to be able to keep the restaurant going. He does this and he's getting 500 customers a day. He raked in more than $15,000 by June 11th. So from June 1st to June 11th, he makes $15,000. That's a lot of money for a restaurant that's asking you to eat for a month for only 18. Unfortunately, the debts totaled more than $76,000. People ate $76,000 worth of food, even though they paid $15,000 for those cards. Did those people themselves eat the $76,000 worth of food? I mean, how much can these people eat, for crying out loud? What they were doing was ignoring the non-transferable membership rule and sharing their card with other diners. So they would take the card and they would say, boy, that was pretty good. Here, Bob, you use this. They would say it in Chinese, and the guy's name probably wasn't Bob. But you get the idea. This is probably what would happen in the United States. My guess is that per sitting, people were eating more than they normally would. Here's a recent example of the phenomenon. Today at WGN Radio, there is a meeting for the producers, and Portillo's lunches were brought in. Big trays of hot dogs, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, roast beef sandwiches, chicken chop salad.
Thank you, Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh, did the Blackhawks pay for that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Thank you, Blackhawks. So the producers had a crack at that, and the chocolate cake, and the sodas. And then the staff was able to eat it, too, and there was plenty of food. I would never eat two hot dogs in a sitting like this were I to pay for it. But since I didn't, I had two of the Chicago dogs and the chopped salad. And the Diet Pepsi.
I had just gone out to buy a salad at Potbelly and came back and ate it. And yeah. Then I found out there was food here.
I'm not stupid. I'll overeat.
So I had a cheeseburger.
Yeah. A friend of mine ran a Kentucky Fried Chicken in Peoria. And he used to do an all-you-can-eat lunch from 11 to 1 or 11 to 2. And you'd think about that. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh, man, that's good. I love me some KFC. And it was an all-you-can-eat lunch. It wasn't a card. You would simply come in and pay, you know, $9 or whatever it was back then in the 1980s. And people would be there at 11 in the morning, and they would eat trays of food. And they eventually had to discontinue it, not because people were cheating, you know, saying, giving their food to other people. They were just eating to such great excess that the guy couldn't make a run at it. There was no way to price it fairly for these people and people who'd eat normally.
Actually, but isn't it that they abused the offer?
Well, they abused it. They were giving their card to other friends.
Yeah. And they also brought, what did they bring with them?
I don't know. What does it say here?
They brought extra bags with them.
Oh, and filled the bags and then took them home?
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the commenters on social media in China, using those funny little symbols, said, are you testing society's moral standards or showcasing your low IQ? That is, of course this is going to fail. Or is this just some sort of test because you should have known that the people would abuse, they would cheat, they would essentially steal from you with this free offer? I'm so sorry to see and hear that.
I wonder if our listeners would do that.
Well, if anybody's been in Peoria in the late 1980s for the KFC All-You-Can-Eat affair, you probably witnessed it going badly. I don't know. Do they have that? Well, like, what's the dinner restaurant you go? Old Country Buffet. You've been to Old Country Buffet before?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's some delicious-looking food. And people just... they just waddle out of there. Nobody leaves Old Country Buffet feeling good about themselves.
Mm-mm.
312. I don't know if we have time here. It's 17 after 2. But your thoughts about this, please. Have you witnessed something like this? Have you done something like this? It says here, all you can eat for 30 days for just 120 yen. It would be a mystery, said one commenter online, if it didn't shut down. But you get the feeling if they charged even more, it was still going to fail because people were loading up the... although I've seen people do this. They go to a restaurant and they've got the little sugar packets and the salt and pepper packets and maybe a little column of jelly stacked up there. You know what they do with those?
Well, they get a discount on the jelly. They buy in bulk, so they don't miss that.
Those go right in Grandma's purse.
You can't find that orange marmalade anywhere else.
Grandma's got that stuff and it's on the way to her house. And you go to her place for some bagels and toast, and she's got these nice little prepackaged Smucker's jelly packs.
But don't you think like three of them were set aside per person? And if you're not eating those there...
look at you. You're one of them, aren't you? You take them with you.
I just think, I don't want it right now, but it's there for me.
Okay, here's my ruling on that. Say you're having a breakfast, and you've chosen not to use one of the jelly packets there at the restaurant.
Yeah.
You may take the equivalent of one jelly packet serving. Well, you can sure take that home. I mean, you did pay for it. You just didn't use it at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Is that situational?
No, you can't do that. If you're sitting down having breakfast and you don't, that's like saying I'm going to take a teaspoon of salt because I might have used it, but I decided against it.
Well, I
that was like just saying, oh, it didn't. The sign doesn't say all you can eat right now.
I always take the little honey jars when they give me tea, even if I don't use it. But then I take them home and I don't even use them at home, and I throw them out.
Yeah, you're in violation.
I am the king of situational ethics. Steve, you got me backpedaling here.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, I've got a bagel, and I put some butter on it. I have paid for the jelly that I am going to put on this bagel. Oh, wait, I'm not. I'm not using the jelly now, but I've purchased it. I should be able to take it home.
I mean, obviously, if you pick up your bagel at the counter and they give you the bagel and the jelly then,
yeah,
then they've given you the jelly.
Oh, this is a fine hair you're splitting,
well,
sir.
Well, I mean, they've given you the jelly, but if you're sitting at a table
and
with
you can't take it off the
jelly,
table?
No. Really? That's the rule,
hold
Steve?
On, what
I
about
didn't
this?
Know that.
What about this, Stephen? What about when there's a bowl of mints and do you have to eat the mint right then and there, or can you take the mint with you?
And how many do you get?
Well, the mint thing is different.
Oh, why is that?
I do abuse the mint situation.
I'll just get that little spoon, crank her down in there, get myself a handful of them. And then, you know what I do? I'm out front selling them. Hey, John, my wife and I go to Old Country Buffet once a week for breakfast, and we each have one plate, and we're on our merry way. But we have what we like, and we don't have what we don't like. I think that is, I'm not sure what that last half of that sentence means. We have what we like, and we don't have what we don't like.
He doesn't stuff himself.
Yeah, so they, yeah. Well, that's the way to do it. Good for you, 708. Hey, I got some suggestions for your weekend activities as we get ready for pregame coverage of White Sox baseball. Blake, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good. My father-in-law used to do a lot of traveling for business and pleasure, and he would clean out the hotel room each night of soaps, shampoos, combs, whatever they offered. Save it up for the whole year. And then at Christmas, he would box it up, and each kid would get a box of shampoos and combs and soaps and eye mask covers. So at least he shared.
Shower caps. Yeah, the whole thing, whatever you need.
Shower caps. And he did international travel, too, so you get some really nice stuff. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know.
The highlight of our company Christmas gift exchange this year was a box of swag from the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas.
Now you know what my Christmases are like.
Sam Panionovich got that for me, and it was a hit. Thanks for the call, Blake.
Great show. Thanks.
Steve, I think you're right, though. I'm right about this, right, Steve? If I go to the hotel and they put all those shampoos and body lotions out, those are mine, right?
I think they're a little more acceptably yours because they probably, but they, I guess they don't. They wouldn't replace it if you haven't opened it.
Funny you could do that, but you can't take the jellies.
I know, it's different, isn't it?
The rules are very complicated.
It's just the way things go. It's a complicated world.
Easy with the mints.
Hey, Aleph, you got a song for us? Hit it. I love this song. 226. We got to do a quick version of this. It's our recommendations of things to do this weekend. What are we listening to here, Ms. Garris?
Okay, this is Grizzly Bear, and they are going to be at Mambi on the Beach playing tomorrow night. So Mambi on the Beach goes all weekend, starts at noon tomorrow, and features a slew of musical acts from DJs to soulful singers at Oakwood Beach.
Randolph Street Markets again this weekend. Tomorrow and Sunday starts at 10 a.m. on West Randolph Street in Chicago. Violetta, what do you like?
Long Grove Strawberry Festival. 50,000 people are going to be there. It's $5 admissions. Kids are free. It's actually already started Friday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Parking is free. Go to longgrove.org/strawberries for more information.
Give us something to do, Aleph.
49th Annual Pride Parade Sunday at noon in Lakeview starts at Broadway and Montrose. Come see us at WGN Radio in the parade.
Yeah, what time's that kick off, by the way?
Noon.
Noon, yeah. Halsted and all around them parts. You'll go right by my place with the float. Sinocalypse is at the Music Box Theater. It features 20 horror, action, and science fiction films, Q&As with the directors all week. It's underway now. It goes through June 28th. Visit musicboxtheater.com. One more from Violetta.
Who doesn't want a Civil War reenactment weekend in Bensonville? Okay, it's only $5 for adults, $2 for kids, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. You get to meet Abraham Lincoln, hear music, and learn what life was like for ordinary people in an extraordinary time.
All right, those are some of our recommendations, a shorter version of that. And The Bright Side returns next week.